looking at the conclusion of Psalm 16. If you could turn to that with me from verse 8 through to the end of the psalm, Psalm 16. David writes, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I'd like to title this talk, "I have set the Lord always before me," from that verse 8. And I'm making an assumption here that David is older, at a latter part of his life. This is a happy end to this psalm. There is some mention of various strife in the earlier parts, but this is a happy conclusion that David has, and it's a happy one for us as well as we contemplate it. "I have set the Lord always before me." This is David's testimony. Despite all the difficulties that he has faced during his life, the times when he committed great sin, this is his testimony. He has set the Lord always before him. And it's something that we can share in too. This could be our attitude, should be our attitude, that we set the Lord before us and walk in his ways. That word "always," it means continually turning towards. It's not just a once and done thing. It's something that happens every day as we continually turn to the Lord for all of the goodness that he has. And he is at David's right hand. That position of right hand is a position of strength. We know that the Lord Jesus is enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the power on high. It's a position of strength, and David's strength, which got him through so much, is because he had trusted in the Lord, even through all those difficulties. And when he committed sins, he repented and came back and put the Lord continually before him. "Therefore my heart is glad." The heart, it expresses the feelings, the will, and the intellect here. The Lord is before him in feeling, in will, and in intellect. David wrote many psalms. It's reckoned around about 72. It's slightly controversial amongst Bible scholars, but he was certainly a man who was literate, had an intellect which he exercised in meditation upon his God. And that's something that each one of us can do as well. "My heart is glad and my glory rejoices." What is David's glory? It's his honour. It's his majesty. But where does he get it from? Where is this glory from? Is it within his own nature? Of course, we do consider some people to be perhaps more noble than others. But for the believer, our glory, our majesty, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what God has done in Christ and where he has placed us. We are in this position. We are in him. In him we have life, and in him we will have glory and have glory in our lives. But it comes from him and him alone. It's not something that is ours by right, other than the right that we have to claim it as sons of the living God. His heart is glad, his glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. This hope is calm assurance. It's confidence that David has in his relationship with God. And that's a confidence that we share. It's a confidence that we have. It's not arrogance. We're not arrogant about our faith. We trust in him. And we are confident in him because he has made promises that he has kept. And he's kept them in our lives. And we can each testify to the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done. Verse 10 says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol," that's the grave. He will not be abandoned or forsaken in that place, in that grave. That's what Sheol means. It's the depths. It's the realms of the dead. But of course, we know more than what David did then. And we know in particular that these verses are used by Peter and Paul in the New Testament. It's quoted in Acts chapter 2 by Peter and Acts chapter 13 by Paul. Peter's quote is, "For David says concerning him, I foresaw the law always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." But David says concerning him. He says this concerning Jesus and the resurrection. What the Lord achieved through the cross and by coming back to life and ascending into heaven. And we have our hope based upon that fact. Paul declared in Corinthians, I believe, that if there was no resurrection, then there is no hope. Our faith is vain. We may as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But God raised him from the dead. The resurrection is a truth that we can believe in and that we hope in as well. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. I've no doubt that David experienced many days of holiness in his life, holiness that was granted to him by the Lord. But the Holy One here is the Lord Jesus. He is the ultimate Holy One, as far as we're concerned, in God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One, set apart by God, sanctified. That's something that each one of us share in. We're set apart by God, made holy, sanctified by him through the cross and through the resurrection and the descent of the Holy Spirit to this scene to indwell each believer with power and holiness. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Corruption is a situation in which there is no hope. David had an expectation of not being left in that place, of not experiencing corruption. He had an expectation of resurrection in faith. But this points towards our Lord Jesus again, where he was risen from the dead, raised up, placed in a tomb, but the stone was moved, and the Lord walked out after his death. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Yes, this was fulfilled in Jesus, but it belongs to us as well. You will show, that is, you will cause to understand the path of life, the highway of life, the course of life, the course of our pilgrimage as we look forward to going to that heavenly city which comes down to earth in the future. It affects our lifestyle. We live for him. We have set him before us. In your presence, at your right hand, are pleasures forevermore. That right hand again. At that position of strength, in him, there are pleasures for us forevermore. At the end of our pilgrimage, when we either are lifted up into the air to meet him there, or whether we have passed through the grave, we will be resurrected again. We'll go into his presence, but our bodies will face resurrection in the future, and we'll have new bodies to live with him. We have risen with him. We are in him. In him is life foreverlasting, and we will experience pleasures beyond our imagining in his presence. What a great prospect we have. What a thing to look forward to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of David, the words that encouraged David himself and perhaps many that read him, and that all those that read him today. But these prophecies were fulfilled to the full in our Lord Jesus Christ, who you did not let to dwell in the place of the dead without end, to experience corruption. You raised him from the dead. He was raised in power. And he is with you now. Our Father, we give thanks for these things. We give thanks for the great hope that we have in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus and the life that we experience through him and through your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would help us to live lives to the full as believers, to live that abundant life which the Lord promises, as we set always before our face, in our pathway, the Lord Jesus. We give thanks in his name. Amen.